Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Larry Mullins, and here are today's top local stories.
We begin this afternoon with what appears to be a growing trend. Threats made at local schools, leaving some students and their parents wondering if it's safe to attend. Multiple school districts reporting instances of shooting threats, mainly over social media. And today, the impact was felt at a school where attendance was way down. It follows a pair of incidents, including a student who was shot off campus at a neighboring school on Staten Island last Friday. And now the fallout. 1010 Winds reporter Mary Lynn Buckley leading our broadcast.
Two emails went out letting parents and staff at Port Richmond High School know there was a social media threat made that students say was about a gun. Will Lanigan is a para. He says his student is one of many that stayed home.
Very low attendance today. I saw it in the hallways. So yeah, not a lot of people at all. And I don't blame him. I was scared of coming to work today, like everybody else, you know.
In less than a week, a gun was taken from a student's backpack near Curtis High School. A teen shot outside of McKee High School, and now this. Jesus Soto, a senior here, says it has his classmates on edge.
There were definitely less kids, yep. It's like sacrificing everybody's education.
The school's principal says these threats appear to be false. Mary Lynn Buckley, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in the Port Richmond section of Staten Island.
And 1010 Winds has reached out to the DOE for comment. We will let you know when they respond. Meantime, on the Upper East, they're calling it a dating app meetup gone terribly wrong. Two men met in person after the virtual connection, but what happened after they met inside an apartment has resulted in a violent death.
Police got a 911 call here at 232 East 95th Street Sunday afternoon. It's not clear what led to this fight, but police sources tell us the two men met on a dating app, and they were in the apartment when the stabbing happened. One of them was pronounced dead here at the scene with trauma to the chest and neck. The other, a 27-year-old, is now hospitalized in serious but stable condition with lacerations throughout his body. Police found two knives in the apartment.
That's not good. That's not good. That's not good at all.
He is reportedly claiming self-defense and now being questioned by police. Mac Rosenberg, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM on the Upper East Side.
Also in the news, I see where Jay-Z is putting up money to help put a casino in Times Square. Roc Nation teamed up with SL Green and Caesar Entertainment 2 years ago to open a full-scale casino. The state will grant a small number of licenses in 2025, but here's the thing. Jay-Z and Roc Nation are looking to make their bid sweeter with an unprecedented commitment to the community surrounding the potential Caesar's Palace Times Square Casino in Manhattan. Make it plain, Mullins. Pending the casino approval, the company will commit $15 million to benefit Hell's Kitchen. Jay-Z says it's our collective responsibility to support and provide opportunities for our neighborhoods and communities. He says any proposal that wins a gaming license is undoubtedly a profit. He says their vision is to get back to New York by making sure the community benefits for the long term. City Council stepping up in the name of mental health intervention, awarding nearly $3 million to a mental health facility in East Harlem with expansion plans.
The big check was presented to the Start Treatment and Recovery Center in East New York by Brooklyn Councilman Chris Banks and Council Speaker Adrian Adams. The funding, part of the Council's mental health roadmap, expanding access to care.
It is our moral obligation and duty to New Yorkers to get this right.
Start CEO John L. Duris said their centers are in traditionally underserved communities.
We are serving communities that were impacted the most in the overdose crisis in New York City, which are black and brown men and communities of color, which nobody's talking about.
The planned improvements here include a mental health clinic, a culinary arts studio, and a pharmacy. Marla Diamond, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in East New York.
Governor Hochul announced today New York participating in the National Climate Ready Workforce Initiative, the idea to grow career pathways in climate and clean energy fields and strengthen workforce diversity, among other things. Says they're looking at training 1 million new registered apprentices across all the states involved in the alliances by the year 2035.
This is a model. We've used this model before, just like we have in construction and manufacturing. You train people in the skills, you give them hands-on experience, you point the way, you show them a path forward, and they are part of the economy that's so important, but at the same time, they're lifting up their own families and increasing their income.
The governor making that announcement today at a Climate Week NYC event. A community is in mourning on Long Island, and grief counselors are now being made available to students after one teen died, four others seriously hurt in a horrible car crash over the weekend. And we're learning that one of those survivors is now barely clinging to life.
Prayers from the heartbroken students and staff here at St. John the Baptist High School as Principal Principal Vincent Albrecht says everyone is hoping for a miracle after senior Bella Trezza is on life support because of a horrific weekend crash.
She is a lovely young lady with a smile that everybody loves.
The 17-year-old Trezza was driving with her 18-year-old brother and three other teenage friends when police say a 33-year-old driver ran a red light in West Babylon and slammed into their SUV. 18-year-old Riley Goot died a short time later.
We're having a prayer vigil in a time of pain and sorrow as we come together and pray.
A GoFundMe page has raised more than $120,000. Sophia Hall, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in West Islip, Long Island.
An update now to a story we first brought to you earlier this year, the death of a prominent New York City transgender activist. Cecilia Gentile's body was found back in February. Prosecutors say she died 2 days after buying fentanyl laced with heroin from Antonio Venti, who allegedly got it from Michael Koulian. Well, today, Koulian pleaded guilty. Venti entered his guilty plea last July, both admitting to causing Gentile's death. The two are set to be sentenced sometime next month. Big honors for schools across our listening area now. More than a dozen named National Blue Ribbon winners. They include several public schools in the five boroughs, as well as some private and charter ones. Long Island also representing with Lakeville Elementary in Great Neck and South Grove Elementary in Syosset picking up award women ribbons as well. They are all part of the 350-plus schools throughout the country to get the designation this year. Way to go, kids. That's a scathing report on police practices stemming from a 10-year federal case calling out stop, question, and frisk.
Donna Lieberman of the New York Civil Liberties Union calls the report's findings astounding.
The NYPD has refused almost 100% to take any disciplinary actions against police officers who violate people's rights.
She's referring to a 500-page report that analyzed discipline from police commissioners over the past 10 years for violating guidelines for stop, question, and frisk. PBA President Pat Hendry sees it another way. In a statement, he says the report is at odds with how police experience the disciplinary system and second-guesses what police do. Juliet Papa, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
And, of course, we have reached out to the NYPD for a response.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.